chapter 3 review today. And what I've done, I like this approach. I mean, this is what I like, and not everybody, you know. But so we're just going to look at all the verses in chapter 3, and I just created some questions. And hopefully, you know, think of the questions as not, I don't necessarily want a theological answer. I want just share what you remember from the class. And the idea of the review is to kind of go back and remember what we were taught, you know, in the past week. So, and the questions that are asked, sometimes they're pretty easy, sometimes they're not as easy. But so I looked at, I love Macaulay. I appreciate Macaulay. There's a better way. I know. You know, I love my guitar. I love my Mustang. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. All right. With that said, okay. So Macaulay, I have his outline of chapter 3. He starts off, you know, the first, boy, you know, verses 1 through 4, I have a ton of questions on those. They're just so special. They're just so neat about our union with Christ and His features, past, present, and future. And then our He has a mental obligation, which sounds a little bit, I don't know, academic. I like to, that's that part where it's, you know, setting our minds on things above. I don't see that as an obligation. I see it as a blessing that we can actually do that and not focus on this world situation, because it's, you know, it's not a, you know, this world has its you know, desires and plans, and they're not, you know, they're in opposition to God.
But Roger, when we do that,
sure,
by faith, it really is, you know, substantiates us and our citizenship.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
And this is foreign soil for us.
And it's more, as we see the end approaching, we see it more and more. Okay. And then the section starting in, he's labeled our inward life. It talks about the idea of being dead to immorality and immaturity and passions. And then there's these two phrases, putting off and putting on, we're going to look at. Putting off is what he has the negative aspects, and the putting on is, he calls them duties. Sometimes, you know, I enjoy Macaulay. Sometimes I would use different words, but that's just me. So, and then we get down toward the end, the last couple of verses that we talked about, our family life, wife to husband, husband to wife, children to parents, and parents to children, and then slaves to masters. And as Bonnie was looking through this morning, he says, well, Roger, you got the and between the husband and wife and the children and parents. Well, he only talks about the slave in this part. We get to chapter 1, he addresses the master. So we'll get to see the master in chapter 1. Chapter 4. Thank you. All right. Okay, so let's look at... Would someone like to read these first four verses?
Then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with Him in glory.
Okay. So my first question was, how and why were you raised up with Christ? So what do you remember from what does the verse say? Does it give us any indication of why that's the case, or from other verses that we talked about?
Buried with Him in baptism unto death, right? Risen with Him unto this.
Okay, there's a multitude of verses that talk about these. This isn't the only place this truth is talked about, being raised up with Christ. You know, and the how of it is simply our trusting Him as our Savior. You know, how that was accomplished. Okay, so here's a, you know, there's this phrase, things above. So why, in looking at the verse and what we were told, was taught, why keep seeking the things above?
Because that's where we are.
Good, good.
Position,
right. And that's our home, right? That's home territory, home ground, familiar ground. So we just like you would, you know, in the earthly sense, you remember your home as a child. You remember growing up, and many times, hopefully, fond memories of that. And so this is our heavenly home. Why wouldn't we want to think about the things above? So what are these things? And there's some, you know, he doesn't explicitly come out and say it, but I think from looking at other parts of Scripture, you can kind of deduce that. So what are your thoughts about the things? What are the things above? And don't make it too technical. Just what's your first thought? What are the things above?
Well, it was the same joy said before Jesus. And we're going to get into that too.
Okay. You're talking about the fact that we're with God, in the presence of the Lord and that kind of stuff. Okay. Are there other details that Scripture tells us about the things above?
We're going to be sitting at the right hand.
That sounds good. Okay. Fantastic. And I agree. Amen.
For spiritual blessings in Christ, like mentioned in Ephesians 1.
That's what occurred to me. Just all those, you know, chafers categorized in 33 riches of God's grace. And just the person. Think about what when the Lord left, He says, "I'm going to give you another helper, and He'll bring to your remembrance all the things, all these things." And so the things that the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance from the Word, you know, that's all wrapped up in the things above. In my mind, they describe the person of Christ, the work of Christ, all the blessings we have of Christ. Bob.
Yeah, in the absence of the sin nature.
Right. Amen.
Right. Fully righteous.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Holy.
Absolutely. Okay.
Additionally, we're there now.
Right.
Right.
And this is maybe it's kind of redundant. Oops. Oh, okay. What are the things? Okay. Well, why is your focus to be on the things above and not on things of the earth? We kind of already answered that, maybe, but. You know, he makes a specific point of that. You know, if you look at the set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And then actually, the next one, if you look carefully, how does verse 3, you know, it explains part of the previous verses, right? It talks about what's the main fact of our when you say we've died with Christ, what comes to mind about your how you operate now? How about your life?
Where is the source of your life?
Okay, that's great. That's great. I was looking for one other thing. Of course, to me, it's crystal clear because I thought of it, right? why wouldn't you see that? I saw that certainly. Right. So I was thinking about the freedom from the sin nature. You know, we died. You know, we've been separated from it. That it's a biggie. Yeah, that's a biggie. And I often thought that we ought to almost keep this. You know, if you talk about refrigerator list, if you want one to keep your spirits high and on the right, you know, glance at this guy occasionally, these four verses. Bob?
Yeah, you know, a couple of verses that come to mind when you're thinking of things above. You know, Paul says, "And this light affliction is but for a moment, which worketh for us a far more eternal and an exceeding weight of glory, while we look not at things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal."
Yeah.
I mean, talking about things above.
Yeah, well actually,
Paul says, "My light affliction." I mean,
yeah.
We should identify with that.
Well, you also kind of gave another characteristic of the thing. They're not seen. How can you can't see God's love. You can experience God's love. You can and you can see acts of God's love. I guess you could say that. But you know the things that we're talking about are things that are. Our relationship that is you know, you can't see it. Okay. All right. Okay. Now a couple other. You know, what? Why did you die? And when did you die? And we kind of already have answered part of this already, right? The why part we think we answered already, right? One part of that is to free us from the sin nature. And the when, you can get different dates, right?
When you become a believer.
Okay, that's certainly one. But then if you think about, it doesn't say we, it says we were chosen him before the foundation of the world. I don't think it says we died with him before the foundation of the world. That's a point in time. So that's a good one. That's good. Okay, what does it mean to be hidden? This is really cool. In fact, actually, I sent my son Mark. He's having a real problem with tinnitus, and he's also having a problem with really bad headaches. So I sent him part of this verse as an encouragement, and I tried to explain a couple words. So hidden is kind of a cool word. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. Remember the double blessing we have. We're hidden with Christ, and that's in God. I had concentric circles in that, like that, kind of a cool deal. So what does hidden mean? And we gave a definition, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but
I wasn't here that week.
Okay.
To me, it makes me feel like I'm completely encased in that, and
okay,
safe, and nothing can take
okay
me away from that.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, there's a particular term, I think Andrew alluded to part of this too. It's the idea, it's a clothing term. Mm-hmm. Your clothes. Like I think the hidden word is idea of being clothed with Christ, but certainly covered up or encapsulated as part of.
And we couldn't escape, like people who say that the news of salvation.
Well,
we're so enclosed.
Right. Well, and the point here, who's doing this? Who's performing this? Who's maintaining this? This is nothing. Does it say we have to do something to be hidden? It just makes a statement. You are. Go ahead, Bob.
And personalizing that seems so relevant.
Right.
Hidden with just you and Christ.
I know.
It doesn't relate to anybody else.
It does relate to others. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, thinking of your, you think of your parents or somebody super special to you, and you think, wow, being with them is just so special. And this is even light years ahead of that, light years beyond that. And that does just bring a tremendous sense of security. How do we know that Christ is our life? It said that. How do we know He's our life? Does He send us a text message? A thumbs up? Okay, that's good. I thought about the Holy Spirit witnessing with our spirit. Yeah, that's a good one. Other thoughts?
Because it says so.
Exactly. That's you're certainly a daughter of Mike. It says it right there. It's in the contract. That's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. Okay. All right. So that's anything else you wanted? I mean, this is just. I know what I was going to say. I have another question that kind of came to mind. You see, raised. You see raised, you see died, and you see, I think, grow with, and seated. You see raised, seated, and died. Do you remember what is kind of special about those words? Those are special words, that we were raised up with Him, we're seated with Him, we died with Him. Do you remember there's a little prefix that's in the Greek that's attached to that guy that makes it even pretty special? Maybe I'm getting things that really turn me on, it's co-raised, right? The word it says you're raised up with Him, but then it puts a co on top of that. It's like it's more emphasizing that even more. You're co-raised, you're co-seated. And you co-died. His death is our death. All that intimate information about our relationship with our Savior. It's all wrapped up in this. I mean, and we've gone through this. I've gone through it, a bunch of times. And I go back through it and I find even more goodies in there, too.
And how about co-revealed?
Okay.
Regan said that.
Okay.
Said Christ is revealed when you
are. That's good. Excellent. Right. That's great. What you find out, since Christ is our life, you find out since He is now our life, what has happened to Him happens to us, and we benefit from all that. The blessings are ours as a result of that. Okay. Any last gems you see in here? And if you think about it later, actually, I'm going to quote this verse at the end again. I can't get away from it, and a different translation. Just because I think it's so special. Okay. So let's go on. Could someone read these 5 through 7?
Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived.
Okay, great. Thank you. So quite a contrast. He's stated these wonderful truths about us, a lot of positional stuff. And then he's going to say, you know, we kind of get into the practical stuff. So the first question I had was, how can you consider your members dead to the list in verse 5?
By faith.
Okay. Okay, right?
I like the previous, that's what it says.
I like that answer. Yeah, right. That's what it says, right? Well, I think about, you know, the verse, you know, in Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead to the sin nature, and the source of all those things, immorality, impurity, passions, and so on, are the sin nature. Okay? Why must God's wrath come because of these things?
So,
okay, they can't. A holy God has to deal with those, right? And he so had to deal with them, his son had to die. So, I mean, it's not like this was all those evil and sinful things had to be dealt with. They couldn't be, you know. So God dealt with them, and he dealt with them, you know, through the death of his son. Okay? Who are the sons of disobedience? Is that a gang out here hanging out in Aurora someplace? They could be in Aurora. They could be in Aurora, sons of disobedience. And we're not necessarily told. I mean, but I think from other parts of Scripture you can kind of deduce what that is. I don't. Go ahead. Somebody have a thought? I have my thought.
Are those people who have heard and turned away?
Well,
the biggest
category you can put them in is all unbelievers, right?
Right.
That's the biggest category. Now you could possibly subdivide that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But the biggest category would be unbelievers. And I think I like where Paul says, and such were some of you, not exactly sons of disobedience, but you had that list of characteristics, right? And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed by the blood of Christ. Okay. It sounds like a motorcycle gang, right?
Yeah, but it sounds stronger than just unbelievers.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, actually, I've forgotten what we said about sons of disobedience. And
to me, it sounds stronger. That's all. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Greek is.
But we're joint heirs, right? So
yeah.
We're true sons.
We're true sons.
Officially.
Right.
Right. God's unending grace.
Right.
And sons of disobedience are those who are not heirs.
Right. Well, and the thing is, we're obedient in Christ because we've trusted Him. We don't have to worry. Obedience is no longer a question. It's only faith.
To the faith, is it not? It's not the things.
Right.
I mean, the old nature is still capable of any of these things.
Right. Right.
But it's really
right.
A life.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Cool. All right. When did you walk and live in these things? It says I got that from, and in them actually it actually puts you. It, Paul's putting you in this case and. In them you once walked. So when did that happen? This is not hard again either.
And you were not a believer.
Exactly. I mean, I can't see anything else.
Yeah.
So I you know, a lot of you have tried to ask the obvious questions, you know. And oops, actually that's the end of that one. Okay.
But remember, go ahead. He's telling them to put off these things.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like these things are totally put off.
Well, and what it's going to be key, especially get to the next section here, the putting on and putting off. It's going to be key about position and condition. That's really going to be key in that. Okay. Okay. So 8-11. Let someone read that.
But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Christ is all and in all.
Good, thanks. Okay, alrighty. So one thing this is a New American Standard translation, and it actually kind of hides. Unfortunately, it kind of hides some of the King James, other translations, kind of have the put on and put off. It kind of in the text. So this one uses put them aside. Back in if my little pointer's working. Yeah, I can't really. You can hardly see it. There it is. So that would be, I think it's put off, or put them aside, put off, right? And then put on is down here. It actually has put on there. So it's kind of hidden. Also, new man versus, old man versus self, and a couple other things. So there's some things in here that make it a little bit harder to see some of these things. Okay, so let's first question. What does it mean to put them all aside? Or put them, or actually it says put them off.
Quit doing it.
Okay.
Is that what you said?
Quit doing it.
Yeah.
Quit doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, when it comes up, don't go there.
Okay.
But, in a sense, I mean, Bill's right, but, that seems like it's... It puts you under law.
Okay. Well, here's what... I got
to... I'm not supposed to think this, but I'm thinking it anyway. I'm not obeying the law.
Right, right. Well, what's it? We're going to see all these... put on and put off. And it's interesting, none of them are in the present tense. After going back and looking at it again, Bob taught part of this, and I think Andrew taught part of this. I think Andrew taught this part, and I think Bob taught the second part. And after going back and looking at all those, none are in the present tense. They're all in what's called the aorist tense, which can be a toughie, because they're in the aorist imperative. So you say, well, if you think about eros, it's like, God is love. God's the love of the world. That's an eros tense. He loved the world by sending his son. But in this case, what I'm trying to get to here, and without getting too deep in the weeds here, is that if I read this, what does it mean by putting them all aside? This happens to be an aorist imperative, middle, which means for your benefit. So I like this. I kind of stumbled across this. Darby, J.N. Darby actually has a translation and a footnote there. He has the aorist tense for that. He has be in the state of having done it. So what I kind of see here in these is that he's saying, remember that they have been put off, right? You're now in Christ. They have been put aside, and make your condition equal your position. So what it says, so it is still the same, you still have to do something, it's still an action, but put them all aside is to remember that they already have been. So I thought that helped me as I went through here, and all these are no present tenses, they're all remembering what you did, what's happened to you in your position. So anyway,
it's almost like reckon yourself to be
exactly
in Christ, and because you are, be who you are.
Right. So it makes it, to me, that makes it an easier thing. Mm-hmm. I'm under law there. It says, well, wait a minute. Anger, wrath, malice have already, I've already been separated from those. Well, now live in your position. Actually, let's get Wayne to get his comment there.
That was the same thing.
Okay.
Same verse.
So that's kind of where I came to with these guys.
This is incredibly, labeled as advanced doctrine, isn't it? what we're discussing here is how one does this.
How do you accomplish what Scripture says? How do you do
doctrine? Because I would say most of the believers just feel like they got to do this. I mean, this is my will. I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to do it anyway.
What would Jesus do? That's really what they. And then they're all upset when they don't do that, mm-hmm. and they because they don't understand
right.
that they still have that sin mm-hmm. nature. They think they should be just doing all the time without a problem.
Yeah.
But isn't this also referring to a complete reliance on the Lord?
Exactly. Absolutely. Because you realize you can get anger, wrath, malice all show up. Yeah. And all of us. And I think Wayne didn't get it. He had another question back there.
Paul came to the same conclusion when he said, "Oh, wretched man, what did I am?" And so he struggled with the same thing.
Right, right.
And that's kind of encouraging for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You shall deliver him,
yeah.
Right?
So I found that, looking back, a second look at this, he's saying, remember, and it sounds so cool. I look in Darby, and this little thing after it says, put off. He has, in parens, he says, be in the state of having done it. I said, wow, that's remembering what I have has already happened. And he has that for multiple words here. I'll point them out as we go down through here. For multiple words, he has that. Darby has his parens. So I said, wow, even back in Darby's time, a few years ago, they knew this stuff. They were rejoicing in that. Pretty cool stuff. Okay. All right. So, when did you lay it? Now, this is kind of a trick question. Because based upon what I said, when did you... You're going to ask me positionally or conditionally, right? when did you lay aside the old self? And actually, if you look in here, in the text here, it said, let's get down here. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self. So that actually kind of brings it out right there. You laid aside that, looking back to something that's happened, and that's another aorist, another one that has the idea of something that you're remembering, something that's already happened. You've already laid it aside. Well, act in accordance with that.
Well, it says you have put on.
And we're going to get there, too. It's coming. It's coming.
Well, in a sense, I was thinking 15 seconds ago.
Oops.
Okay. All right. And so do not lie. So you laid aside the old self with you. Okay. And then when have you put on the new self? Another kind of trick question. Has this happened positionally for you? But the Lord desires that it happen conditionally for us, too. Another one of those words, aorist, not a present. Now, I thought, boy, if these are all present, that would be laying the law on me.
Exactly.
But what he's saying is, remember what you have. And boy, that is so consistent with so much of Scripture. Remember where you came from. Remember what you have. And then you can exercise faith in that. You say, Lord, you separate me from that. Why am I going there again? And, you know, you probably say that a few times in an hour or so, if you're like me. Why am I going there again? Anyway.
Turn to 1 John 1:9.
Okay. All right. Okay. How is the new self being renewed? And that's kind of an interesting one. So what do you think about there's a bunch of verses that come to mind with this. How is a new self being renewed? What comes to mind? How's that happening?
That's part of that being conformed.
Okay.
And he's doing it. He's conforming us to the
end. Excellent. Okay. How about growing in grace and the knowledge of him? As we interact with Scripture, we learn, we grow, and we learn more about His grace. How about there are several verses that talk about renewing of your mind. That shows up in a bunch of verses. The renewing of your mind, and the Holy Spirit's involved in that, certainly, and in the Word.
That we're being transformed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
First Thessalonians, someplace.
Yeah. Okay. What does it mean? Oh, this is funny. What does it mean that Christ is all and in all?
You ask a lot of tough questions.
Well, that's my job. That's my job, right? Well, I ask easy questions. You know, you'd be snoozing off. I mean, Tom, go ahead.
It doesn't matter what your nationality is or your political persuasion, any of that, it's just in Jesus.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there is none of those. Sorry, there is none of those things in heaven. There's no.
Well, actually, it only talks about that. It says the things that are not in heaven. There's not these kind of relationships where each person is individually, you know, in a relationship with the Savior. Well, I looked at a few of the translations, which is kind of my tendency, and so we surrender this. He puts our things in there, of course. Well, these things show up in the... He has... But Christ is all things and in all things. So he adds the word things in there. So, and that kind of helped me a little bit. I said, you're right. I mean, he's the makeup of all. He's the cohesive force that holds everything together. You know, at the atomic level, or you know, beyond that, or you know, farther down than that. you know, Christ is so. He's our life, and there's just so many aspects you could make it say this from.
That throws me back to John 17. When, you know, I mean,
Christ, who is our life,
he is in the Father. Well, what's that relationship?
Right.
That's got to be all things.
Right. And we get to be part of that relationship, yeah, which is even more.
Right.
So people say, well, what are you going to be doing in heaven? I don't think we really have. We have an idea, but I don't think we really, really grasp what it's going to be like. It's going to be.
I'm going to be the dog sitter. I know that.
Okay,
all right. Somebody
has
to
eat
the dog.
Okay, all right. Well, then there's a question. No, I don't want to go. Yeah, I want to go there.
You need to meet with her after class.
We know Andrew's going to be eating donuts.
Yeah.
He said he was going to be eating. That's true. He did say something about that. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts about? I actually skipped some parts in here, like the part of verse 11. I didn't do too much with. But anyway, just think about the fact that putting off and putting on are there. You know, he's asking us to remember something, and I think that's just really cool. It's really really special.
Roger.
Yes. Go ahead. Sure. Sure.
Can you explain who the Scythian is?
No. Tom probably can.
Well, it's probably derived from many past words that coincide with people who harvest wheat, and that's the Ukraine and part of what's the USSR and now part of Russia. But you get the idea. It's kind of like that part of Europe. It was not an unknown factor in the Roman Empire. I mean, they knew what was beyond their borders, and they were watching out.
Okay. Go ahead.
I've got a little note here. It says Scythian represents the lowest type of uncouth barbarian nomads of southern Russia.
Whoa.
In Christ, distinctions of race, class, and culture are transcended.
Wow. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, class. That's great. Yeah. Well, he is talking about, yep. And there's no distinction among all those. That was your point earlier. Yep. Okay, all right. 12 through 14. So, someone read, please.
So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as God, the Lord forgave you, so should you. So also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity.
Great. Okay. Okay. I have a sort of, it's a trick question. Who is chosen by God?
Everyone.
Okay.
When did he choose everyone?
Well, anybody else have a thought?
No,
I'm sorry. It's all right.
Let's turn to the book of life.
Right. And actually, from that perspective, I know our brother Hal taught that. The book of life, only names are removed from the book of life. Everybody's names in the book of life, only names are removed. But we find in the description of believers and unbelievers in Scripture, we find that the chosen part only shows up in the column for believers. Only a believer can say he's chosen. So that's why I was kind of hedging on my agreeing with you.
Question.
A trick question. I'm sorry about that. That the resume of the believer chosen is one of your elements of your resume.
But would you say they weren't chosen to be believers? They were chosen. The believers were chosen to truth.
Well, it says they're chosen by God. They weren't chosen. Yeah, if they're chosen to be believers, that means he's excluding someone. He's not doing that. And the verses for the unbeliever are, I'm not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So we have two sides of the, if you're making columns, you've got two sides of information. And the believer is the only one that can say that Scripture declares that he's chosen.
Well, doesn't it say, too, that, I mean, since he knows everything in the whole scheme of time, he knows who will choose, but yet everyone is offered.
Exactly that. I know. Isn't that amazing?
It's a very kind of mind-bending.
Well, you have to be careful because you're going to put human attributes into
that's
describing
right.
God.
Exactly.
God never says, oh, I forgot something.
Well, and also, you have those denominations who, you know, the predestination thing.
Exactly, exactly.
And so, then that takes out the fact that everyone is offered.
Exactly.
The ability to choose.
Yes, right. So you have to, you know.
It's sort of a mind-bending.
Right, exactly, exactly. We're every believer is chosen, but we choose. I mean, it sounds contradictory, but that's what Scripture teaches. So.
Could you bring in Romans, the first chapter there, where it's placed into the heart of man to know that there is a God?
Okay, that's good. Well, that would go back to the fact that you know, man knows. You know, we kind of think, well, it's going to be a big shock to them when they get to the great white throne judgment. I don't think it is. It can't. In fact, it cannot be. Otherwise, God would be remiss. Whatever.
Well, think of all the other religions of the world. If there's not one God, like Allah for the Islam, it's you know, Judaism is one God, the same God we ultimately are called to, but all these other Hinduism and Buddhism is more of a philosophy rather than. But they all have gods of some sort. The Greek mythological gods, and I mean, everybody looks at something beyond the earth, right? In some way. So.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay. How can we be? This is, you know, how can we be holy and be beloved of God?
You got a list.
Right? Yeah, right. Are you keeping that list? Okay. All right. Well, my answer was you're in Christ, right? Okay. Okay. So now we're back to the put on thing again. And actually, this put on is not in the present tense. It's in the aorist tense, aorist imperative. And that's what got me onto that. I said, All these put on are all in the aorist tense. Is that telling me something? And once again, Darby's really cool. Right in the text, he has be in the state of having done it. Be in the state of having put on. Boy, that is just really cool. Huge. So actually, I'm like answering the question before I even start. But anyway. So how we put on this list of qualities, we say, I already have those qualities because I'm in Christ. By faith, we walk by faith and let His life be lived out through us. Okay. What are these lists of qualities called in Galatians? Good. Okay, this wasn't hard. Good. Okay. Okay. What is the perfect bond of unity? If you read the text, you'll know. Good. Okay. See if you're awake and reading. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay. Okay. All right. 15 through 17.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
Great, thank you. Okay, so my first question is, what is meant by the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts? And Bob can't answer. Is he talking? You guys remember what that was? There's kind of a cool analogy that I liked. You remember what the analogy was to who does? Well, I'm going to give it away when I say it.
what?
Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay, that's certainly part of it. I was thinking back to the class a little bit, and that word ruling is a particular word in the Greek that kind of is an interesting term, and we see it in different events that you might go to. And so actually, and maybe Bob can add to this too. So basically, it says that the peace of Christ is ruling, and the idea as an umpire, or actually, I like actually better as an arbitrator. I was thinking about this. When the Lord said in John 14, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So I was kind of thinking about this. So here comes the world at us, and it's just disarray, everything's the disaster. But what Christ says, "You have my peace." Let that be ruling in your heart. Let that be where you're focusing. It's almost back to set your mind on things above. So this, the peace of Christ ruling is almost like remembering that you have His peace, and His peace is not subject to the things of the world. Go ahead.
Why don't you think a little further there in terms of umpiring? There's no instant replay here.
True. True.
I mean, let's look at this. Was it pass interference or not? The NFL rule this year. I mean, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
That piece is perfect and never mm-hmm. be
right.
against.
And the cool thing is, from that John 14 passage, we have that peace. We have that because we're in Christ. We have His peace. So I'm thinking, wow, we have His peace. Shouldn't that be called safe? I mean, I can't think of the right analogy with umpire, but I mean, that should be the ruling thing in our life, that His peace.
And there's a rest in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very much so.
Okay. I don't think there is a pass interference with God. I don't think there is that.
The NFL, they put it in as instant replay this year. Sorry.
Yeah, but
no. Oh, wait,
no. She's correct. That's good.
It's already on the
Football.
Okay. How should the word of Christ richly dwell in you? Can you think of some verses that might describe how that's supposed to happen?
How about set your mind on things above?
Okay, that's not bad.
Listing the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay. Well, I think it's pointing out the fact that the Word of Christ or God's Word is to be. Actually, the word for richly is actually abundantly. There ought to be a big storehouse there. If there is a big storehouse, that's going to be very helpful to your life. If there's a small storehouse, then you could argue that as you grow, hopefully the storehouse is increasing. You're remembering more. Of His Word, and more experience with His Word, you've come to understand passages, whatever.
Along with that, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word.
Exactly.
That's the Word.
Right.
I mean, I would grow in grace,
right?
Not only by experience, but by getting back into the Word.
Right. Okay. What does it mean?
Also, has the music they mentioned. Songs and
hymns. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably why we should be careful about
what the songs say. Yeah.
Very yeah. Bonnie should bring that up.
Well, she comes and asks me, says, "Roger, how's this verse sound?" She goes, something like that. Not exactly.
Change some words.
Let's change some words. Go ahead.
I think the idea of dwell also makes me think of be at home within.
Exactly. That's good. Very good. Right. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. It's kind of amazing sometimes when, just out of the blue, certain scriptures will just kind of come into your mind. You'll think about, boy, and you'll look at certain situations and something will just You remember something. It's wonderful. What does it mean to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus? Should we say that after everything we say? I'm doing this.
I know. The Lord is your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's your life.
Right.
Then you live your life.
No,
you know,
no, I agree.
In him. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Right. There's not the things that you will. I'm doing these things for the Lord, and there's other things that are, well, I don't know, that's just life. And actually, we're going to see, we get into the relationship between husband and wife and children and parents and so on. That comes up again. Okay. All right. Somebody read this one.
Wives, be subject to your husbands, as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be in bitter against children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Father, do not exasperate your children, so they will not
respond. Great. Okay. So, when we talk this, what does it mean to be subject to your husband? Or how about this? What doesn't it mean?
Not to be a doorman.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I kind of like the analogy, or the, actually some of the words that not only in Colossians but also in Ephesians are the idea that it's a military picture there's a ranking, and you're lining up under your husband, and this is God's order. That's part of it, certainly, and I think this is a close companion. Why is it fitting in the Lord? Why is fitting in the Lord so important? So, I'll answer the questions. But so it says basically, wives be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So why do you add that last part? Do you think?
Well, the Lord certainly has an order to things.
Right.
I mean, as you pointed out. But also, I think Bob talked about this too. It's also a spiritual leadership that the Lord really puts on the husband.
Right.
To lead the family in spiritual things.
Right. Good. Good. Okay. So why is love the most important quality toward his wife? Isn't it interesting he never tells the wife to love her husband?
Right.
Just to respect.
Well, basically. But he does add a little. I found that I kind of this morning I was kind of thinking about this. So he adds a little caveat at the end. Be careful about, do not embitter them against them. And embitter is the idea to provoke, to stir up. Why do you think he adds? He tells them to love their wives. And of course, the love is not a love that he can actually. It's Christ's love that he's talking about. Unconditional love. But then he says, knowing man, knowing Adam, he knows that that's going to show up. And I was trying to think, is that an issue? It can be, I guess.
It must be.
Yeah, he said it. But it's interesting. You know, you look at these and you say, he tells the wife to be in subjection, sitting the Lord. He says, love your wife. You know, wives, love is the most important, but don't embitter them. So.
Well, don't you think it's because he doesn't tell the wife to love her husband unconditionally?
Nope.
So what that tells me is the Lord understood that wives would in some cases, if the husband didn't step up, might in fact challenge him.
Right. No.
And if the husband is challenged,
it's gonna be a long car ride home. Mom.
But I think that's what it is, because if the husband is challenged by the wife,
mm-hmm.
he could become embittered.
Right.
And I think
I agree.
The Lord saw that right from the beginning.
I agree.
That could happen.
Well, you know, God has an order. I know we talked about last week. You know, he has an order in the Godhead. The Son says, I only do what I see the Father doing. You know, so there's an order in the Godhead. There's an order in his creation. But what's going to happen is, because both parties, husband and wife, has sin natures, it's not going to be a perfect thing. So the wife is to do it as is fitting in the Lord. And the husband is not to be, like you said, is not to be tripped up by, you know, that's over the top what she did. I can't love her anymore. That's it. That's the last straw. You know, that's not to be, you know.
But it gets back to a very simple principle. We love God because he first loved us.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of that same relationship of the husband and the wife.
Right, exactly.
She's not called to love him, but I think the principle plays.
No.
Roger, if you go back to the last three verses that we looked at, let the peace of Christ dwell in your heart, then that all takes care of all this stuff.
Right, and that's good. Actually, you know, if we put, I put it in chunks, but you're right. If you read before that, that's right. If that's ruling in your heart, then these won't be issues. Okay, so remember, obedient is akouo, to listen under. I really like that. I always try to remember that definition for obedience. Obedience is not, you know, a heavy hand, you know, boom, you will obey me. It's, come, listen to what I have to say. It's so appropriate with children. Listen to what I'm trying to say.
It's not working
with your puppy. Well, you don't speak the same language. You don't speak the same language. That's the problem right there.
I need some counseling here about this.
Well, Margaret, have you told him to listen under?
I've tried that. She's paying no attention. She's not listening.
Okay. And do not exasperate your children. And exasperate, provoke, excite.
Frustrate.
Yeah, frustrate.
Being constantly critical.
Right, exactly. And so they will not lose heart. And then, this is last week, so pretty much, I'm not sure there's much. Slaves and masters. Yeah, we didn't really cover just one thing before we close here. There's a similarity. This is talking about slaves and masters, and the slaves had no choice. But obviously, in the employee-boss situation, you do have a choice. You can leave the company, right? But a lot of the principles that we saw last week in slaves and masters kind of fold over. I think you guys already saw that from last week. And you're doing it, to the Lord rather than men. And the it's external service is actually eye service. Yeah, they have that in the other translation. Men pleasers. Actually, has two aspects I kind of come to realize. Eye service does. One is that you work real hard when the boss is around, and the other one is you do something special to catch his eye. That's the other part of it. You say, "Well, I know how to get a better raise. I'll do this special thing, and that will get me a couple of extra, you know." You do your work to the Lord and not to men. Okay, so then, actually, my final thoughts were, I'll just read this. This is the Weiss translation. In view of the fact, therefore, that you were raised up with Christ, the things above be constantly seeking where Christ is, on the right hand of God, seated. I like that, on the right hand of God, seated. The things above be constantly setting your mind upon, not the things on the earth, for you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Whenever Christ is made visible, our life, then also you with him shall be manifested in glory. So you were raised, you died, you were raised, your life is hidden, and you shall be manifested. Pretty cool stuff. All right, so let's close. We thank you, Father. Thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the blessings we have, Father. We just thank you for our time in chapter 3, Lord. It's been a real blessing. We pray for the rest of our time in Ephesians that we would learn the things you'd have us learn. In Christ's name, amen.